Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started off talking about the fact that the message is important. Sometimes we get our eyes on the story, and it's so pretty and cute and nice, and Jesus born in the manger and all of those details. But we begin by focusing on the actual message, the first message given at the very beginning, if you will, of the pregnancy, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and gave that announcement. And what we discovered was the announcement given to Mary was also given to us in the fact that God wants to be with us, and as believers, we are to have His presence grow in us, obviously not in a physical way like a pregnant woman has a baby growing in her, but we have the presence of God growing in us every day throughout our life as we walk with Jesus. And then last week we talked about when the angel again came in the form of a dream to Joseph, and in his message to Joseph, highlighting this, that we also are going to be family, and family isn't defined by blood, but rather by faith and accepting who we are, because Jesus declares it as such, that we've been adopted as sons and daughters of God. And so today we go to another portion, the portion where all of a sudden angels show up, and the angels are going to say this, let's go to the text, and we have it here in front of you in Luke chapter 2 and verse 6 and following. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Obviously, the they is Mary and Joseph. It says, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available to them. My controller is not really wanting to work. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now notice at the very beginning of our text, the angels show up, and they say something that maybe you didn't catch on the first reading. Sometimes we have a text so familiar to us that we miss a detail here or there. So I'm going to go back to the very beginning of the text. And it says that the angels come and says, excuse me, here we are. They say, the quotes, do not be afraid. That's the same thing that we've heard over and over again. The angel said that to Mary. The angel said that to Joseph. And again, he's saying it to these shepherds that are here. But notice the message that he says. He says, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Now, if you understand the grammar here and the way that wording works, we have two words here, good and great. Now I ask the question, which is better? Which is the highest, if you will? Which is the level above all the things? I think it's interesting to note that the angels here come and say that the news is good and the joy is going to be great. Because when we understand that that's actually what the angels say, it puts us in context today. Now, I will tell you that I consider the message of Jesus being born and coming and him being my Savior and changing my destiny from hell to heaven, that being great news. I consider it to be great news because it has completely changed and transformed who I am, completely changed and transformed my family. Everything that I am is different because of that actual event. But it makes me also think, what then should be our joy upon hearing about Jesus? If you consider, as I do, the fact that Jesus, the message of Jesus coming as our Savior, this is great news, well, what would that mean as far as our joy and where we need that to be? Unfortunately, I see a lot of Christians even today, and they walk around, for lack of a better term, like they've been out kissing lemons. They walk around like they have just received the death sentence. And I think, how is it possible that that's the face of somebody who has great joy? How is that possible? But if you notice, the news is going to cause great joy, a celebration in our hearts. We are called not only at this time of the year, but all year long as believers to demonstrate. My mind is wanting to go to Spanish. Normally we have Spanish service first. And we didn't have the first Spanish service, so we did it a little bit different today. The joy that we are to have is to become overwhelming. But if you know the scriptures, you're going to be the person that says, you know what, this wasn't necessarily just great news, good news even, to most of the people, or a lot of the people. If we were to analyze the different people involved in the lives around, for example, Herod, when the wise men showed up, and said, where is he who was born king of the Jews? And we talked about this in our Bible study last week. If you weren't there, you missed it. But nonetheless, Herod did not say, oh, goody, let's go. He didn't receive it as great news. He didn't understand that. And if you were to analyze the response later on of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know what? They didn't come around and say, oh, you know what? That is just such good news. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up. There were certain people that actually responded to this good news with a lack of desire, a lack of interest, a lack of wanting to worship. We need to be the people who have received. So who are the people who receive the good news, the great news? I'll tell you who we are. We are the people who have already accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you say that you are a believer, that means inherently that you need to walk around with joy in your heart. There's no question about it. And you say, but Pastor, I had this negative thing happen to me. I had this bad news. I had this event. My family is in trouble. This is happening. Finances are falling, and so on. I'm going to tell you, none of that takes Jesus out of your heart. If we've confessed Jesus as our Lord, here are these shepherds out in the fields. The only thing they have, what do they have? They don't have a house. They don't have a big dining room table that they're going to have a Christmas dinner at. They don't have some of the things that we think we absolutely have to have. The only thing that they have are some sheep. And what do they do when they get the news? They leave them. Now, I'm going to tell you, the good shepherd doesn't leave the sheep out there. Because there's wolves out there waiting. There's wolves out there saying, I can't wait for that shepherd to get into town because I'm going to have an all-you-can-eat buffet. The shepherds abandon their sheep, the only thing that's of value to them. And they're going to be the ones that run off because they have received this message and now their joy is full. They have this great joy. In the letter that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and following, it says, in all this you greatly rejoice. Now, if you don't know where we're at in context, he just listed a lot of problems. In all this, in all of your times when family's falling apart, didn't have the money in the bank, you had this problem and I'm sick on top of it, in all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result, and notice again the results, because God is all about results. Not about lip service, but about results. May result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with... Now, notice this phrase. It almost sounds like what the angels were talking about when they said all of a sudden that the news is good, but your joy is going to be great. He says that we are going to be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Notice the joy that we're going to have, the great joy that is ours. I think that there's a problem if a Christian doesn't have the great joy in their heart, because that means that they've got their eyes off of what Jesus is doing in their hearts and in their lives and in their families, and they've got their eyes on the problems. And you know what? Anytime you focus in on a problem, it's going to get bigger. You start looking and meditating on the size of a problem. All of those other soldiers, the day that David showed up to the battlefield, they had analyzed it for 40 days, and they had seen this guy coming out in the morning and in the night. And you know what happened? From the first day to the 40th day, I can promise you something, because the first day they stood in awe, but the 40th day they were running away. All of a sudden, Goliath had grown 10 feet tall. Now, what was he before? He started off being only 9 feet 10 inches. I don't know. But somehow, when we look at a problem and we focus in on the problem gets worse and worse and worse. And the same thing is true on the other side. If you learn and train yourself to fill your hearts with joy, and you fix your eyes on Jesus, and you let Jesus grow in your heart as we talked about 2 weeks ago, and you let the concept that now you are a child of God sink in, and you are a co-heir with Christ, and that you have a place seated on high, and there in that high place, Jesus is preparing a place in his own house for you, because you are going to be the house guest for an eternity. And if you begin to focus your attention on that, I'm going to tell you the little problems that we have around you, and you say, oh, Pastor, I have big problems. They're going to become little problems. And you know what? That big problem in the days of David became a little problem. You know how? Because David just moved around his sling over his head, and God guided it, that rock, to hit the right spot. And all of a sudden, this giant that was standing so tall was face down and showing the world that the biggest of giants bow before the name of God. Ours is a joy that's unspeakable. Some only hear the message and they never respond. It may be like a King Herod, and they hear the message and say, that's not for me. I'm going to go and attack. I'm going to go and kill off all of those because I'm going to be the only king of the Jews. That was Herod's response. And today, there are a lot of people in the world who respond with disdain, with hatred. You try to say Merry Christmas to some people, they're going to correct you immediately and say, Happy Holidays. Because they don't want Jesus. There's aggression. And I don't want to go too far, but there's even churches in different parts of the world who, for political rightness and not to offend, have stopped talking about sin and taken the cross out of the church. Because we don't want to offend people. Because people will be offended. Because it's not great news. It's not wonderful news to everybody because they don't accept it. But we have accepted it. And here Peter is speaking about an inexpressible and glorious joy. We are the people the angel expects to be filled with joy. Are you those people? Are you the ones that have heard the gospel message, who have responded and said, I've seen Jesus? And now all of a sudden, your hearts are filled. We who have received Jesus as our Lord are the ones that the world has to be seeing, the people with filled hearts with joy and gladness. If not, what will they think that we're even talking about? The very concept of having good news falls away. Because when you go out and the people around you see the good news, yeah, my life has been really a struggle this year. And you know, it doesn't erase the fact that life may have been a struggle this year. My wife was commenting just this week that this has probably been the toughest year of her life. I said, it was mine too. I missed out on heaven by about that much. You know, that could just devastate your year if you missed heaven. But I'm not missing it forever. I just didn't get to go this year. But our life today is to be filled with joy so that we can share the good news with others. When the shepherds hurried off, they didn't go and say, oh, hey, we have to do this because God's forcing me. They hurried off because they were the ones given this great news that was kind of caused even greater joy. Only those who are rescued know the joy of being rescued. A person that's never been rescued and doesn't even understand it. Because the angel says to the shepherds that a baby was born, and the emphasis here for you, born to you. You know what? That baby born in a manger was not born just for the shepherds. The message clearly today we can see applies to us. Jesus was born unto us. We have been given the greatest gift ever imagined in the life of Jesus. Jesus comes and the announcement rings out amongst all of the people, and the kings hear it, but they don't accept it as good news. The rich and famous, they sometimes don't accept it as good news. But the good news is there for those who will hear, those who will call upon the name of Jesus and move their allegiance, move their livelihood into a new category, because we don't live for today anymore. We live for eternity as Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. In other words, God shows no favoritism. He didn't show up to the most rich person in town. He went out to the shepherds who didn't own the home. God didn't make a distinction between any of the people, because all who will receive will be the ones who have great joy deposited in their lives. If you hear the message, it's one thing. The message is good. But I'm going to tell you, it turns into great when it gets into your heart. That's where the message turns into something that's great and is a great joy. Nothing matters to God because all are welcome regardless. And I put a few things up there. It doesn't matter. God doesn't judge. Because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short. And so to everyone who will just believe, everyone who will allow the good news that goes into their ears to penetrate into their hearts will turn into great joy, because we become children of God. The favor of God rests on those who receive the message. And the angels say that brings peace. You say, well, I don't understand. This message was delivered 2,000 years ago, and there's still wars. Where's the peace that they were expecting? Where's the peace that God promises in this? Now, I want to emphasize something, that some believe that peace will all of a sudden show up in your household if you accept the message. You know what? Jesus actually contradicts that whole concept in the fact that there are going to be division and son against father, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. There's going to be this division in workplaces and so forth. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars because the peace that he brings isn't amongst people, but rather between God and us. The peace that we were enemies of God. Through sin, we had declared war on righteousness, and God is the righteous, the Holy One. And so there was enmity between us and God. There was a friction. There was no peace. We were at war, if you will. And the angels show up, and they announce that there's going to be this good news of great joy that's going to bring this peace about, because all of a sudden we are reconciled with God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 it says, "For if while we were God's enemies," you say, "I never went campaigning against God." Every sin that we've ever committed was a sign that we were his enemies, because he is at war with sin. And the author of that sin, the devil. "For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" In other words, in the Bible, the word reconciliation is another term for the kind of peace that the angels were bringing there. They were announcing this reconciliation. If we accept the free gift of God in Jesus Christ, we are no longer condemned. So what was the response that the shepherds offered? Well, in the play, and I don't know if you had time to read the English translation for those that didn't speak Spanish. It was on the screen. I was too busy watching the kids and listening to them to do that. Even some of those who speak English better than Spanish decided they were going to do the Spanish version just for you. Weren't you blessed? My daughter was one of those. But what was one of the things that everyone, my daughter was the one holding the gift, and she says, I'm the reason for Christmas. Everyone spends all of their savings. So I obviously am the one that is the real reason for Christmas, the meaning of Christmas. And what did the shepherds do? They were announced, they had this announcement given to them by the angels. And so the angels say, "There's born to you in the city of David a Savior." In other words, they show up and they say, the angels say, "There's a gift waiting for you in Bethlehem." And so what did they do? Those shepherds were like a kindergartner on the day of Christmas. You know, you don't have to wake up the kindergartner on the day of Christmas. No. You know what? It's reverse. All year long, Mom and Dad are responsible to go in and wake up. No, you have to go to school. You really have to wake up. You have to get up now. All year long is like that. But then come Christmas Day, the roles are suddenly magically reversed. On Christmas Day, it doesn't matter if the sun hasn't come up yet. On Christmas Day, none of the details that normally were the excuses that the child gave before even mattered to them. They had gotten plenty of sleep. They were ready to go. They don't have to be told twice to get out of bed. They rush off, and the shepherds do the same thing. They rush off to get their gift. And what did the shepherds do after they saw Jesus? After they opened their gift? After they looked baby Jesus square in the face? The word there tells us that they went out to share the good news. Now, again, it's good news. You know, because angels are giving the news. I can tell you it's good news because we are also messengers. Angels are messengers sent by God. You can be that messenger sent by God as well. And you're going to show up with good news. And when does it become great news? It all of a sudden converts into great joy when God fills their hearts. The Holy Spirit comes into their lives. And so the shepherds go out doing what they are going to do. Why? Because they've received this great joy in their hearts, and now they cannot contain it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Like the angels sent the shepherds to see and receive, after they had received, they became ambassadors. And now Paul tells us, through the letter that he wrote to the Corinthians, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now that's where I can finally understand why it's good news that's going to cause great joy. Because the way I share it, sometimes it's not even considered good. It's considered mediocre. Sometimes I have to wonder, do people like the taste of coffee on Sunday morning, or is it because I'm so boring that they'd fall asleep without it? Sometimes you get, and you can have the same thing. You can say, but I'm not that good. I don't know how to share my faith. I don't really know how to witness and give a testimony. I don't know how to do these things. You know what? You just do it in even a mediocre fashion. If the news is just good news, it's okay. It's decent. But the fact is that God makes his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul there is saying, I know I may not be an adequate preacher, an adequate testimony, an adequate person to explain all of the details, but if you receive that peace that the angels talked about that very first day, it will convert in you into something extraordinary. It will convert into your life something great, a great joy that is for all the people. So, you see, God is sending us out as his messengers, messengers of reconciliation. The message given to the shepherds is still the same message that's given to us. We have received the great news. How many have received the great news? It's great for us, amen? And so if you've received the great news, that means you are also given that opportunity that the shepherds were given. And they went along. And you know what? It didn't bother them if they were being a bother to other people. They just started rejoicing. And they told everyone as they walked through the streets. They were just sharing the good news that would become great joy in their lives. The angel Gabriel came to Mary in the beginning. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. And that message given to her was that God wants to grow. And my friends, God wants to continue to grow in your life this week, today, tomorrow, next year. God wants to grow in you. And that growth is going to bring great joy. Because God is more and more a part of who you are. And now all of a sudden you can't distinguish whether it's who you are or whether it's Jesus in you. That's the calling that we are to have, like the calling given to Mary. And like we spoke about last week with the message about what was given by the angel to Joseph. Again, it's part of our lives. We form family, and these people can become our family. You know what? It's a good thing. Because we're all going to live together in the same house. How many understand that it's a good thing that we're family then? And God wants to do that in our lives. And finally, the angels bring us this message today. And the shepherds heard the message. And their hearts were filled with joy. And you know what? It's not the kind of joy that you can hide. It's the kind of joy that somebody comes up and says, what are you on? I want some of that. And that's the joy that is ours this Christmas season. And my friends, I want to encourage you, make sure that your eyes stay on Jesus. Not on your wealth, like the shepherds could have kept their eyes on the sheep. Not on your problems. They only grow when you do that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And in so doing, we have something happen to us. Our salvation, our relationship with God grows. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's going to get bigger and bigger. And you know what faith is? Faith isn't this somberness. You know, some people, when they were growing up, they had the saints in the church, and the saints were the ones that always told the children not to run. The saints in the church were the ones that made sure nobody had fun. That was my concept as a kid. But you know what? Those who have Jesus in our hearts, those who have the faith that's been growing up, Jesus is perfecting our faith. He's the one that makes it grow in us more and more. We are the ones that actually teach the children how to have fun, because Jesus is completed in us. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we are so grateful that you came. And Lord, we are grateful that the news didn't just come to us and stay as good news. In us, it was planted. That news sank deep into our hearts. And now it has flourished and blossomed into great joy. Oh Lord, let that joy continue to flourish. I recognize that even at this time of year, there are some with significant problems, health issues, finances, family problems, relational issues. But Lord, none of those things can be our focus. We have to be those people who have our eyes fixed on you, and we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And Lord, I ask that you would send your church not only out today, but out for the rest of our lives on earth with that joy. And Lord, obviously, when we're in heaven, we're not going to battle with that at all. So Lord, forever, we want to walk in a glorious joy. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen and amen.